Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Regular listeners will know that travel writer Fionn Davenport has been guiding us around the provinces of Ireland over the last month. And today we've come full circle to Dublin. Fionn, you're very welcome. Good morning to you.
Hiya, Claire.
So you think that most of us, whether we live in Dublin or not, we don't see the full potential of the city for domestic tourism. Why is that?
Because it's true of a lot of places. Because if you live in Florence, you don't visit all of the places that Florence is famous for. And so it is with Dublin. I've written the Lonely Planet Guide to Dublin for the guts of a quarter of a century. So I've seen it change a lot. And it's just that simple fact has stayed true. Is you talk to Dubliners, including myself, and they go, oh, yeah, I've never, I went there. I remember going to the National Museum when I was a kid in school, or, oh, no, I haven't been to the Botanic Gardens in, ah, oh, geez, I haven't been there for years. Or there's that sense that because it's on our doorstep, we take it for granted. And oddly enough, as terrible as this pandemic has been, the reopening affords Dubliners the opportunity to, I guess, not rediscover, but to kind of experience the city the way tourists experience it, but without the tourists, because we're not welcoming that many tourists. And bear in mind, Claire, listen, and I say this as someone who writes about Dublin, is that it's important that we stay conscious of Dublin as a city for Dubliners rather than this slow transformation into a city that's really just a tourism product. And so I think that that's the thing, is this idea of like, look, there are these amazing things to do in the city and it's not just for tourists.
OK, so if people are going to sit down and make a list of the things they should do in Dublin, you mentioned the National Museum. That's probably top of the list. But you have a whole series of them that we really should, if we haven't visited them for a long time, we should go and see, or maybe even visit them for the first time.
Absolutely. So, yes, the National Museum, both the one on Kildare Street and the one up at Collins Barracks. The National Gallery, I mean, it's one of the preeminent European galleries for art from the 1600s up to the contemporary age. If you're into the Hugh Lane Gallery, and it's not just one of the great contemporary art galleries or modern art galleries, rather, it's got Francis Bacon's studio. If you've never seen that, it's absolutely worth going to see. On Sundays, they have free lunchtime concerts. I dare say many a Dubliner doesn't realise that that's actually true. Kilmainham Jail, if you want to know anything about Irish history, despite the fact that we all know everything about Irish history, or so we like to think, the tour of Kilmainham Jail is both powerful and incredibly enlightening. And it ends in the yard, of course, where the leaders of the 1916 Rising were executed. But then there are kind of, I won't say hidden highlights, but highlights that people don't fully realise that are here. One, the Chester Beatty Museum. This is one of the great museums of the world. Books, manuscripts, scrolls. It's got one of the finest collections of Qurans outside of the Islamic world. Chinese jade books, all the product of Alfred Chester Beatty, who was this extraordinary collector, who then bequeathed this entire collection to the Irish state. And obviously everybody knows that Trinity College is where you'll find the Book of Kells. And again, if you want to see the Book of Kells and not have to queue for an hour and a half, now is the time to do it, or when it reopens is the time to do it. But Marsh's Library, just around the back of St. Patrick's Cathedral, 25,000 books that go back to the 15th century. It's the oldest public library in Ireland, founded 1707. And it's dusty, old, absolutely gorgeous. So just in cultural pursuits alone, those things I think would take, I don't know, you could spend days visiting those.
I'm formulating an idea now for people who haven't been able to get accommodation for their staycation. You could do little day trips if you were living close to Dublin. Make a list of these places, go and see two or three in a day, have some nice food and make a day of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just cultural pursuits. I mean, obviously, we've got great parks and gardens, not least the Phoenix Park, but also all of the Georgian squares. If you want somewhat, and again, Dublin is very popular. There's the Guinness Storehouse, which is the number one paid-in attraction In the country, if I'm not mistaken, if not Dublin, but also that entire area in the Liberties is become, it's rediscovered its old distilleries. So up until the 1800s, Dublin had dozens of distilleries. And so that area starting to, you can see them. So you've got the obvious ones. You've got, well, the Jameson Distillery, which actually is on the other side of the Liffey. But in the Liberties, you've got the Dublin Liberties Distillery, the Pierce Lyons Distillery, Rowan Co., and the Teeling Distillery, which has been there for 4 or 5 years. So you've got this group of distilleries. So if you like that kind of thing, if you like the whiskey tour with a little sample at the end, pick a distillery and go visit. And then, of course, if you've never been to the Guinness Storehouse, which seems a bit kind of, you're like talking to Dubliners going, why would I want to go there when I can just get a really good pint in my favourite pub? That's absolutely true. But the Guinness Storehouse, you know, kind of the home of Guinness, it's actually an interesting visit in and of itself.
And the view.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, although it's a funny thing, is, and I say this as someone, my beloved Dublin. Dublin's not the prettiest city to look at, frankly. I mean, it's kind of like, it is got a great view of the city, but it wouldn't be, you know, this isn't Florence or downtown LA, you know what I mean? So, but still,
see, that's typical Irish, isn't it?
Yeah,
temper,
no, there is.
Temper the beauty of the city with Fionn Saint, but it's not that nice, really, is it?
But because Dublin, as listen, Dublin's not about being a gorgeous city. Dublin's about having personality. Dublin's a great city,
and it has because it of has the people, so much personality. You know. No, you're right. You're right. What about the markets, though? Oh. Something again that we overlook, Fionn.
Yeah, and so, and again, I'm trying to keep this idea of the outdoor experience because indoors is going to be limited for the foreseeable future. Frankly, listen, time hasn't been kind to Dublin's markets. There's a whole bunch of them that have been forced out of location or driven to close. The Dublin Flea Market, now it's still looking for a location. It was in Newmarket Square up in the Liberties. I'm waiting to see when the Temple Bar Market will reopen. But the one to bear in mind is George's Street Arcade, which is the covered market just between George's Street and Drury Street. Now, I mention it not just because it's a great market in and of itself, but because Gwen Layden, who owns the market, was so good to the tenants during the pandemic. I mean, really an exemplar of what a benevolent landlord should be. And for that reason alone, other than the fact that, you know, I live near it for 25 years, so I know it quite well. But it is a great place, even just to amble through.
It's lovely, and deserves
lots
that.
Lots of nice stalls
that
to have
honourable
a look at.
Mention, Fionn. Walking tours, another great way to see the city, particularly during this outdoor summer.
So, precisely. And the other thing as well is this idea of, like, you're going to pick up knowledge that you mightn't otherwise have, or you might think, I never knew that about my own city. So the Green Mile tours that run out of the Little Museum of Dublin, which again is a terrific experience in and of itself. But Donald Fallon, who is the popular historian, he runs these Green Mile tours of Stephen's Green. And they're absolutely brilliant. The last time I took one was when I was updating the Dublin Guide about 18 months ago. Sensational, like really, really interesting. And he's a brilliant guy altogether. There's the Secret Street Tours, and I discovered these again as part of my Lonely Planet update. So this is a great initiative, and it's street tours of the city led by former rough sleepers. And they examine the city from the perspective of homelessness. Now you think, oh God, this sounds so terribly depressing. On the contrary, it is the absolute opposite of that. It really gives you a street level view of this city of ours, and full of brilliant anecdotes and great stories. And you'll walk away from one of these tours going, oh my, you'll never look at the city again in the same way. It's absolutely brilliant. Look, if you want to just go for a stroll along the Grand Canal. Ars Nutron has free tours, so you can organise those if you want to visit the presidential residence. The Irish Museum of Modern Art, I don't know when they will resume, but they do free tours of the various artworks inside in the company of an expert. I think they're on Saturday mornings when they run. So generally, that's what I'm saying is that if you can, there are some wonderful tours of the city to take.
Okay. Have a little search around your own city and you put in many a fine day. Fionn, thank you so much for bringing us that series for our staycation this summer. And we will absolutely chat to you soon. That's Fionn Davenport, travel writer there. Now we're going to go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.